Welcome, Matt and Kay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Absolutely. This is wonderful. I just am so excited for you to share your story about Green Llama and what initially inspired you to come into the green cleaning product field and also have environmentally friendly packaging.
Yeah, great question. During early in the COVID pandemic, I had been on a journey to reduce plastic and waste in my everyday life. So I had switched a lot of our home products over to a plastic-free option. At the same time, Matt was brainstorming a business idea for science. Matt, as a neuroscientist, he said, "What if I made these pre-made buffers for scientists? They don't have to mix them in the lab." And we were cleaning our house at this time. And I said, "Well, how about one of those for my all-purpose cleaner, so I don't have to buy a new plastic bottle every time?" And we, like many, if you open under our sink, there were, you know, mounds of plastic bottles. So, and then we did a little research, looked up different ingredients, eco-friendly. And I said, "Matt, do you think we could do something like this?" And he said, "Yeah." And, that is where it all began.
She gave me the freedom to play, essentially. So we started ordering ingredients. Mm-hmm. The kitchen turned into a little lab.
Nice.
And that's where we started. And then it was sort of like a downward train. We just couldn't get off.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, I hear you. Sometimes going down that rabbit hole, you just can't go back. And it's hard to unknow what you know about chemicals and about environmental impact of plastics. And I had a similar journey myself prior to COVID with learning about plastic pollution and trying to eliminate everything in my own home. So I can totally relate with your journey. And I'm not a scientist, so you know, I just had to do it with products that were available to me. And really, like up until I found you guys, I was using vinegar.
Right. Anyone that uses vinegar, I always get taken back to being a kid because, of course, fish and chips have salt and vinegar on them a lot. So it always reminded me of that. But yeah, the cleaners that we make are the essential oils, and they smell a lot nicer than vinegar.
So much better. So much. And it cleans more easily, too. It's a little bit more like familiar to what you were maybe using before switching, because I find that there was that learning curve, too, of going from like all the stuff that just makes things so easy to clean, and then finding out all those chemicals that make it easier also not good for me, my skin, my, you know, respiratory,
right.
My dog on the floor after I clean the floor. And so, yeah, I just took time to learn how to clean with vinegar, but it was a learning curve. And so I love that your product doesn't have that steep difference and learning curve. It's just like a new thing, you know, just throw in the tabs, shake it up, and wait a little bit, and then you're off and running. So that's really great.
Right. And you're ready to clean.
Yes.
And we did that reducing plastic was the first thought in creating these products, but having a non-toxic option was also that it had to be that way as well. So we looked at different lists from the EPA Safer Choice. We referenced the Environmental Working Group information to find ingredients that are non-toxic but also are effective, and that took us to that narrowed down the ingredients that we sourced first to do our testing and start making the formulations. So it was okay, we can use these, so let's get those and let's
this is what we can use. It's a very small list, right, Matt?
It definitely was reduced. So when you look on the back of it, a regular cleaning product with all the different ingredients on there, the majority of those were sort of taken off sort of our starting list.
Sure.
But then again, sort of just by doing some research and then by cross-checking against the Environmental Working Group, we narrowed it down to sort of five or six different surfactants that we might want to use, as well as other ingredients that are critical for tablet production, or at least maintain a tablet's integrity. It was pretty small after doing a lot of research. My background is academia, and of course, researching different aspects of my own work sort of lent itself towards this type of work, sort of screening essentially what is just noise and what is actual information. So it got that, to long story short,
to sift through, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly.
So much.
But again, sort of the training and the background, it sort of helped sift through it.
Yeah, it helped you be able to just focus on and know exactly what you were looking for.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like there are products out there who have tried to eliminate like the packaging and do a refill bottle, but still coming in a plastic refill container.
Right.
And those products are also not so focused on ingredients either.
Wait, can I share an anecdote briefly? There was I was scrolling through, I think it was Instagram or Facebook, and there was a product, and the it was for dishwasher tablets, and the headline was 100% plastic free, and then the first comment was your packaging is plastic. And
totally.
So it's not really 100. Right. Yeah, so that gets into a different topic, but I thought that was fascinating.
Right. And you know, we with a lot of the brands that still use plastic, the green cleaners that are really popular, you know, on a lot of shelves, we see it as there was progress, but we're going to keep going.
Yeah, we want to build on that.
We're going to build on it because yes, you can have a green non-toxic formula, but if it's coming in a plastic spray bottle, then that is going to eventually end up in our landfills, hopefully not our oceans, but possibly.
Sure.
Plastic takes a thousand. Yeah, I don't know the exact.
We don't even know.
Thousands of years to break down.
Depends on the type of plastic as well. So
totally.
Right.
Yeah, and when you're throwing away the whole bottle, you're throwing away that hard plastic head, all of it. Like, you know, even if you can recycle it or in a place where you can recycle the bottle, let's say in your curbside bin, the head cannot be. And I guess this is a good segue to talk about the one piece of plastic that you guys can't avoid. But I love what you guys did with how you sourced the plastic to make that spray nozzle for your glass bottles. So let's talk about that.
Sure.
Absolutely. We have for our surface cleaners, we have, as we've talked about, tablets that dissolve in our refillable glass bottles. But of course, the trigger spray, they are up until now, all 100% plastic.
Yeah.
So we have partnered with a company that is able to recycle decommission wind turbine blades. And that is a whole nother podcast on its own.
Absolutely.
Wind turbine blades have a waste problem. They are hard to get rid of. They're hard to recycle. But this company is doing it. So so our trigger sprays, we use their material to make our trigger sprays. So they are reduced plastic and more robust because it contains fiberglass from a blade, which is
So they're really durable. They're not going to break on you.
So a little bit of serendipity. So we were partnered with this company when we were on a accelerator program. It was sort of like a mix of serendipity and ingenuity when we're sitting next to these guys and they're talking about their product. And I thought, holy moly, we can use that. So basically, one of the strengths is literally a strength that the trigger sprays are reinforced with fiberglass, which makes them a lot stronger. They should last. They last a lot longer than a traditional trigger spray, which of course is the whole point of the product. It's reusing. We're very proud of that. It's we're the first company in the world to do something different.
I love that in that sense,
and we're just we're a very small company in East Tennessee. That being said, it's at the very beginning, so it's not perfect, and that's something we'll keep working on over time.
Right. I think the name of the trigger sprays ended up being Windblade.
Yeah,
is that right? I want to say there was some ChatGPT involved in there too, but it titled it.
We called
and
it
we were like, Windblade. We like that, the Windblade.
The Windblade. That sounds
like
great.
A superhero trigger spray.
You guys are trend setting. I love it. This is what we need. We need innovation. We have to use the plastics that are out there that exist. And find unique ways. And tell us again, you were somewhere where you...
We joined an accelerator program, which was running close to where we're based in East Tennessee. So the accelerator program ran for about 8 weeks. And I think it was one of the critical junctures in our journey that turned us from sort of like a organized hobby into more of a business. But as part of the accelerator, we were grouped. Our cohort had five different companies, mm-hmm. Everyone with completely disparate ideas, but all focused around clean tech.
Okay.
So we were part of that. And of course, we made friends. And one of the companies there was this company that was sort of recycling, upcycling wind turbine blades, but they didn't really have any use for it. Mm-hmm. And we said, all right, let's get it into a consumer product.
Wow.
And that's what we did. So again, we're very early in that journey. And I think that we've still got improvements to make. But I mean, my goal, of course, is to have 100% plastic free trigger spray. Mm. But at this point, it's not possible, mm-hmm. With the materials that we've got available to us. So we're thinking about how we can get there.
Okay, I love that.
Right.
I mean, that's how it all begins, is the seed is planted. And you also planted mm-hmm. the seed for those people who have the wind turbines that need to be somehow used. And
it was a lot of fun working with them, because we were the first company to take the material and make it into something that is used.
Functional.
That we're gonna sell. Functional, right. They had a lot of really cool demos. They had made a snowboard and a little boat, a figurine out of their materials. But we, you know, took it into something as part of our product, which was a lot of fun. So gave them proof of concept, and they want to recycle the full blades into new blades, but also that this can be used in different ways.
It was cool for us, because we turned the weakest part of our product, which is that plastic trigger spray, into literally one of the strongest parts of the product.
And I would like to know if you've had any other major challenges or obstacles along the way. I mean, that doesn't sound like it was a challenge. The you know, it was very universe put you in the right group with the right people at the right time. But I'm sure that you've had some actual challenges and struggles doing this in a way that's environmentally sound and also chemical free for people's health as well. So if you could share a little bit about that.
How much time do you have?
I mean, we can go to
that's a whole episode. Let's talk about like the company, biggest thing, right? That where you were like maybe thinking, should we be doing this?
I still have those thoughts.
How many moments?
What are we doing? Right. Yeah. Ooh, the biggest challenge. Not would you say production, finding the right packaging?
I'd start off with sort of confidence and belief.
Yeah.
Love that.
From a very fundamental level as a human, and transitioning from, again, I'm an academic by training. So I've spent my entire career in a lab, apart from the early days when I delivered papers and milk and so on and so forth. But if you take my meaning, I've spent my entire life in a lab. And Kay, as an OT who's worked a lot with children, those careers, I don't think, necessarily lend themselves to entrepreneurship. So connecting to solve those types of challenges, it's really been about connecting to people who can almost help instill belief. And so we've worked with Founders Forge in East Tennessee, who's it's a group that helps startups, essentially. Mm-hmm. The accelerator program that we joined was also critical in terms of building sort of like a confidence in oneself and a business that we've got. And again, I think we create great products, and we're solving a really big problem as well as part of that movement too. But so yeah, from a personal level, it's that. And then we started off, as I said, we're a true startup in that sense. We started off in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. We then converted our backyard sort of garage into the Llama Lab.
And translation, garage.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
So our backyard garage became in the Llama Lab. We kitted it out, so it's dry. We've had to deal with very tough conditions like humidity and temperature outside, which are a challenge whenever you, again, as a scientist, you want everything to be very continuous or at least repeatable.
Okay.
And if you've got temperatures ranging wildly up and down, but again, as a startup, capital is always a problem because you don't have the money to go out and get a standard space and unit where, so that's another potential problem, or at least that's a problem that we've dealt with over the last year and a half.
Right. When starting this business, once we got our first product ready to go, we met with a man that is an entrepreneur of multiple businesses, and he said, "Oh, well, this is, you've got the easy part down. Now you just need to sell it."
So now you just honestly, have to sell it.
Yes. I mean, there are definitely.
You're like, wait, that was the easy part?
There's been a learning curve of like, oh, if we get this great product, the selling isn't going to be easy, but we've found, oh, wow, it's getting over the hurdles, getting the education out there, letting people know that this is an option, that this is here. That there are other options to grabbing a plastic bottle off the shelf. So that has been a challenge, the growing the business.
Right.
And I think a big part of that is raising awareness around plastic pollution in general, not just for cleaning products, but just for every product that we bring into our homes that's packaged and wrapped in plastic and is made of plastic, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's definitely a huge, huge thing for everybody who's doing this to overcome, is like bringing people up to speed with what's going on with that and why it's important and how do we overcome it. And the solution is products like yours, obviously, but it just takes time and
absolutely.
It takes a village of people, you know, sharing what they know. And especially I think amongst parents, we all care. We all want the future to be good for our children and we all care, but I think there's a disconnect between like understanding that there's a problem, like, okay, we know there's a problem, but what do I do about it? You know, how do I solve that problem? Because it wasn't easy to find your products, I have to say. Like, and I'm a researcher. I'm like on it. And I am looking for, you know, I'm looking for products like yours. And it took me a while. I don't even remember like how I finally stumbled upon your product. It was probably just, I mean, I dig and you don't know how many tabs I close. I click and I like know exactly what I'm looking for by now. I've been doing this for many years, like you guys. You know, probably 7 years ago is when I learned about plastic pollution, and prior to that it was chemicals, and so trying to find the two of those combined, people are interested in finding these products, but man, it is hard. Easy.
Not so easy. Right.
We just have to keep sharing, and raising awareness and, you know, just
absolutely
putting it out there, and it will come. Because,
and we very much appreciate you being a part of that and putting us on here so that we can share the story.
Absolutely. Well, I would love to talk about your packaging further, because you do have some laundry detergent that is in a bag, and also your little tabs come in a bag. And I would just love to know a little bit about that packaging and what it is, how it was sourced, and then how do we properly dispose of it when we're finished.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yes, our packaging, it definitely has to be very recyclable or compostable. We sourced a material for our laundry bags and our tablets and soon to be dishwasher tablets.
Yay.
And it is outside craft paper. And then inside it is based material called PLA that is compostable. And this does get confusing, because right now we don't live in a world, we have our recycle bins. Or many people do, not everyone. I know it depends on the city and location, but there's not a compost bin where the city picks it up. Some places do have that. In our local area, there is a composting facility where we can bring our food scraps or compostable material. But what happens with this material, it's not going to last for 1,000 years, and it will break down into soil.
Our
current material It's an industrial compostable. There is a great website, and I apologize, I don't have it right in mind, but you can Google composting facilities in your area. Mm-hmm. And there is a long list of all the composting spots that there are. So see if there one in your local area.
I know they're out there because I this is a fun story.
Perfect.
So we received a email off a very frustrated person who it turns out was he owns or runs a compost facility. And I learned that his frustration stems from being sent all sorts of packaging, which is claimed to be compostable. Mm-hmm. But of course, because there's no sort of certification on it, he doesn't know whether it can be composted or not. So he has some hesitation in terms of actually mm-hmm. doing it. So he received some Green Llama packaging and he sent out a frustrated email. What is it made out of? How do you know it's compostable? So on and so forth. So of course I engaged with him and learned sort of where his frustration is coming from. And we started mm-hmm. adding the TUV certification onto the packaging so that composters actually know that the material is compostable, mm-hmm. as well as developing a page on the website that explains what our packaging is made from. So everybody can understand exactly. So we're not just trying to greenwash the packaging.
So this is a great segue to talk about greenwashing. From your standpoint, how common is it? I think we talked about it a little bit when I was explaining how long it took me to find your product and how many tabs I opened and closed right away. We're claiming to be lean, mean, and green, and who actually are not. So yeah, just from your standpoint, how does it affect you?
The one I think about that isn't related to cleaning, but how it shows how powerful marketing is. I saw a green plastic grocery bag one time and my mind went to, oh, more eco-friendly. But then I looked at it and I thought, oh no, it's just a normal plastic bag. That's the color green. Mm-hmm. So colors and things that we associate with eco-friendly can be on there and can be powerful.
Yeah.
There are the plastic bottles and I do want to say with a lot of green cleaners out there, back to that progress. There are, you know, the really strong, tough, harsh ingredients that are harmful to a health. And then we have some greener products and they're better.
Yes.
And then we are trying to tackle that to an even and further degree. But yeah, there are very popular green cleaning products that are very well known. And when we looked through the ingredients, we found some that we didn't want to have in our home.
Right.
These could be petroleum-based ingredients. Yeah, but
yeah.
Petroleum-based, we want plant-based or we want natural occurring, naturally derived.
Right.
Some have palm oil-based, which mm-hmm. I know some palm oil is better than others, but it's still a problem for the environment. Mm-hmm. Dyes, there are a million dyes out there, some safer than others, but there have been health concerns there, synthetic fragrances.
Yes.
And then I am going to let this next one, can you pronounce it?
Yeah.
This is one I see a lot, so I want to bring it up.
Yeah.
I call it MIT, but
let's let people know, because I feel like educating people to, you know, just have an awareness around things is what we're here for.
Yeah, so there was a recent study published in Sweden. Study published in Sweden that showed regular and prolonged use of household chemicals, household cleaning products, mm-hmm. Can be equivalent to smoking 20 cigarettes a day, which is a pretty surprising statistic, but that just sort of is an insight into the types of ingredients and chemicals that are going into household cleaning products.
Yeah.
Now,
even the ones labeled green, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Like they're hiding under a few natural products or ingredients,
Absolutely. And as an mm-hmm. example of that, so there's a green cleaner, there's a few green cleaners that use something called methyl isol.
That's the one.
Let me say that again. Methyl
isothiazolinone.
So that's a preservative, and it was given who it was awarded by the American Dermatological Society 2013 Allergen of the Year. But that's still present in a lot of green cleaning products today. And then, of course, there's the more sort of traditional and regular cleaners that, you know, maybe they have a green, as Kay mentioned there, they have a green packaging, but those chemicals are essentially still the same.
Right.
The sodium lauryl sulfate is very common in a lot of laundry, as well as surface cleaners
and dish soap. That are
and
all claiming to be green.
Absolutely. Yes. A derivative of SLS is SLES, sodium laureth sulfate.
Yeah.
That's derived from an ethoxylation process, which ultimately produces in its byproducts toxins and ingredients known as dioxane. So 1,4-dioxane is currently under scrutiny in the state of New York and is present in some laundry products. And so they're considering a ban and certainly a regulating those ingredients. And again, a lot of these ingredients are present in green cleaners, essentially. So I think one of the advantages we've got is we built this product from the ground up. And one of the unique things I think about us is we built the formulas. We didn't go out to another company. We didn't go out to someone that knows all. And this is why when we talked about challenges, if we went back to the beginning, maybe we would do things a little bit different. But at the same time, we've got a wonderful story. We own our own formulas and we own the production. So we're able to regulate what goes in it. We know what's been through the machines prior to that. So I truly think that what we're doing is it's the opposite of greenwashing, essentially.
You took the hard path. You did the hard stuff first.
Yeah.
And now you're good. I mean, tweaking, sure. But I mean, other than that, like, you don't have to go back in time and undo a bunch of stuff. Like, right now, you're just trying to improve on something that's already really great.
and really clean and really
legitimately green.
Really green.
I will tell you, if I vet you guys, like, you guys are good to go.
I have very strict standards. I appreciate that. And I want to throw this in here too. Like, just like the trigger sprays, we have improved them, everything in our products, from the packaging to the ingredients. We also are going to throw out, we're not 100% perfect, but we are going to continue towards that path step by step. So we're doing it as perfect as we can right now, but our goal as a company is just that sustainability and health is the forefront of our minds from the start, not an afterthought, like, oh, we need to change it because of the times. Right. And that's our goal to keep being that way. So as we find things like, oh, this could be better, That is our plan. Progress over perfection. We're gonna always take steps to be a little better.
I love that. I love that, because a lot of times it's just people trying to keep up with the latest trend and what couple of ingredients can we throw in to make it, you know, seem green or whatever. And there are no regulations on the claims that people can make, so that's important, I think, for everybody to be aware of, is that there's nothing out there that says what the regulation for claiming to be green or clean or, you know, have environmentally friendly packaging. There's zero. So it's people can really say whatever they want on their food and, you know, household product, cleaning or shampoo, toothpaste, whatever.
Got it. It's all incumbent upon the manufacturer, the company, to do that themselves. So like, as Kay said, it's like we built with sustainability, health, and effectiveness in from the very beginning. We didn't focus on an effective formula and then backtrack and then say, oh, but we should probably make it a little more safe for home.
It's already there.
Right.
It's already totally there. And tell us a little bit about Green Llama. Like, where does that come from?
Sure.
Apart from llamas being fun and cute and cuddly, we found we wanted a fun name. We wanted something memorable. So that was the start. And when we looked into llamas, after we thought about green llama, they have soft padded feet.
Okay.
They literally tread lightly on the earth.
Oh, I love that.
They are pack animals, so beast of burden. They do the work for you. And they're eco-friendly animals. They eat a lot less than other pack animals, for example. So they work hard for you. They do the work for you. They tread lightly on the earth, minimal impact on the environment. And then they are also can be put in with alpacas or other animals as a protector. They tend to be protective animals. So we see that as protecting your family,
your pet, environment,
your environment,
and our environment that we all share.
And our environment,
the greater environment that we all live in on the planet. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So that's why green llama.
That's
why. And green's a little obvious.
Green. Yes. Have to have that in there somehow, so that people can get the idea.
Right.
So this might be something to look at.
Yeah. Well, that too has a little story behind it. We were at a alpaca farm out by Sugar Mountain, which is in the Appalachian Mountains. And we were visiting this alpaca farm. It was a dreary day, and we sort of saw this white llama off in the distance. But under the light and conditions, it kind of looked dirty and green.
Okay.
So we went with green. That was entirely Kay's idea.
Well, sometimes we get inspired by nature and you just have to roll with it, right? Especially
because
that's part of your whole brand anyways, is to be light on Mother Nature. And that's what this podcast is all about too, is in, you know, helping people learn how to leave a lighter footprint. That's what Live Lightly is all about. So I really love that you guys are out here doing this and making an impact on our planet and creating things that are actually safe for us to use in our homes, around our children and our pets. So where can we find you? Where can we learn more? And also just, you know, product updates. I know you guys have something coming out pretty soon, so we want to be on the lookout for that.
Yes. Our website is greenllamaclean.com. And there, if you do want updates, we have a newsletter, sign up. So that's how to keep in touch. We are also we are working on a new store directory, but in stores across the U.S. in over 35 states and continuously growing there. Mm-hmm. A lot of natural food, grocery stores, co-ops, refilleries, eco stores. But for online, the easiest way is to go to our website.
Okay. So you can make orders online at your website if there's nothing locally available in your own community, which I love that you guys are out there in some co-ops and stores. And so where is that directory to be able to find you? Is that on your website?
So we're building that at the moment. We're in about 120 stores across, as Kay said, 35 states.
Great.
So aside from the production, the manufacturing, the products and distribution that we do, we'll get to that as soon as we can.
No problem. Look for it if you have a co-op or a local store that sells these types of products. Otherwise, go to the website and you guys ship it pretty fast. So
we ship it fast. We also in the shipping, you know, if you're thinking about it, that piece of it, since we have removed the water from our products, from, you know, the dish soap is concentrated, the tablets are concentrated, the laundry is, you need just a tablespoon. We are going to reduce our impact there just by lowering the weight of what we send.
If anyone's got any suggestions as to the local stores they want to see green llama, please shoot us an email and we'll reach out to them and contact them.
Absolutely. That's a great idea, because that's how we get the good stuff on the shelves. Really, we have to let our stores know that we want this product, and then we need to let you know that there's a store that we want you to contact. So that's a great idea. And also, if you are ordering online, you can use code Jessica at checkout and they'll receive 15% off. So that's a bonus if you are needing to order it online at this time.
That's
wonderful.
Yep.
And I also just wanted to let everybody know that I'm going to drop all of these links in the description and in the show notes.
Really? Sure.
And yeah, just thank you guys so much. I know you're we're so going to have more conversations in the future about new products and just other parts of your journey. And but I think that this was a great beginning, a place to start, because we just really need to let people know who you are and what you're all about and why.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And that's all right if I jump in with one more thing.
Sure.
As Matt and I and you have been on the journey to improve our home products and everything we use around us for our environment, I want to throw out that at times for me, it got very overwhelming.
Totally.
And you could probably relate. So yes. I want to throw out how we want to see our brand, like taking steps towards better and better, that one thing at a time is the way to go, because it's really easy to, if you learn about the plastic, you learn about the ingredients, you want to fix everything at once and it can get overwhelming. So
right. Just take one step in the right direction. First, it's changing out your cleaning products and my guide is a really great place to go and find everything that your whole household needs. So I'll link to the guide, of course, also. Because I've done all the research, I've done all the trial and error and overwhelm and sifted through all that everybody. And also the interviews will be with people who, like you, who have founded companies that are moving in the right direction. And, you know, so those stories will also help support people in finding everything that they need for their entire home. And it's not that I'm, you know, trying to sell anybody anything that they're not already buying, because I'm not, you're already buying this stuff. Like, why not just make it better for your family and yourself, obviously, and for the planet, right? And support these companies that are out there doing the work, the hard work, like you guys, because they are not big companies. They're small companies like yours, and family owned a lot of them, and just moving in the right direction. So we need to all support each other for sure.
Love that.
Agree.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Thanks again for
thank you for having us
for having us on.
Of course. Thank you.